Are you curious about the economic forces shaping your daily life? The Planet Money podcast from NPR makes sense of the economy in ways you'll actually understand and enjoy. Guys, you love listening to the rundowns. I get some of that information from this NPR Planet Money podcast, especially recently with the war going on, the Strait of Hormuz. You're just kind of getting those updates as they come from these guys. They put out a ton of awesome content. It's a different perspective from Crypto 101, but still a great listen. So go over there and check out the Planet Money podcast if stuff like current events and the finance world interest you. Each story on Planet Money starts with a question. Recent episodes ask why Pokemon cards are growing faster than your retirement account. Questions about the war, just like we talked about recently a lot on our program. From the job market to the stock market to prices at the supermarket, Planet Money explains it all. Planet Money is a different kind of world where the complex economy somehow makes sense, where human stories supersede abstract theories so you can learn, laugh, and be entertained. It's econ, but just down to earth. The hosts go to unusual lengths to explain the economy. They've published their own book to track the global supply chain. They've shot a satellite into space to understand the economics of the private space industry. They've gone inside a live book auction to show how ideas get to market. It's the kind of show where you learn something, probably laugh, and walk away seeing the world a little differently. And I think if you like Crypto 101, you'll enjoy Planet Money. So maybe check that out. Follow NPR's Planet Money podcast and understand how money shapes the world. When we started this podcast, it seemed like we had to figure it all out on our own. Scripts, setup, filming, schedules, logos. It was super overwhelming, and every day seemed to introduce a new decision that needed an answer. When you're starting off with something new, it seems like your to-do list keeps growing every day with new tasks, and that list can easily begin to overrun your life. Finding the right tools that not only helps you out, but simplifies everything can be a game changer. For millions of businesses, that tool is Shopify. Shopify is the e-commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. From household names like us at Crypt Nation and the Crypto 101 podcast, where you can get our book and merch, to brands that are just getting started. Get started with your own design studio with hundreds of ready-to-use templates. Shopify helps you build a beautiful online store that matches your brand style. Accelerate your efficiency, whether you're uploading new products or trying to improve existing ones. Shopify is packed with helpful AI tools that write product descriptions, page headlines, and even enhance your product photography. Get the word out like you have a marketing team behind you. Easily create email and social media campaigns wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. And best yet, Shopify is your commerce expert with world-class expertise in everything from managing inventory to international shipping to processing returns and beyond. Start your business today with the industry's best business partner, Shopify, and start hearing. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/crypto101. Go to shopify.com/crypto101. That's shopify.com/crypto101. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Crypto Rundown. Crypto regulation might not sound exciting, but what happened in Washington, D.C. over the weekend with the Clarity Act is quietly changing the entire industry, because for the first time, we're starting to get real framework for how Bitcoin, Ethereum, and all your favorite crypto assets, including stablecoins, are actually going to be treated into the United States. And depending on how this plays out, it could unlock massive institutional money and funds of flows. So you might think this is going slow. We've been talking about it for a while, but things are heating up. So let's break down what just changed, and as we do with our friend Brian. Brian, welcome back to the show. We're going to dive right into the Clarity market first thing today instead of going over our normal thing, because I thought it was such a big update of this leaking out. And then, of course, shameless plug, if you listen to the Crypto 101 podcast, you got some great alpha on that Polymarket, Kalshi, betting market dips on these odds that we gave out last time you were on.
Credit to us, man. Another great, you know, little soft call out by us in the last rundown. But this Clarity Act news is starting to come to life. We're starting to get some real traction here. So excited to see what happens. But we'll go over the details. But exciting times.
Yeah, what stuck out to you the most? The thing for me, obviously, the first thing was the betting market odds that started creeping up which is always exciting. But for the most part, it was the leaking out, and it was a lot of the the Republicans and the Democrats that are working on the bill. It is a bipartisan bill, in my opinion, as I pull up here. Sorry, my software is giving me a little bit of problem, but the Clarity Act moves closer to the law, and stablecoin. So stablecoin was the number one thing that was being, debated or argued, if you will, because stablecoin rewards, the banks were worried of deposit flights, because if you could just give out large rewards for holding stablecoins, which is basically, they were arguing the same as a bank account, they're going to lose a lot of deposits. So there was a deposit flight risk for the bank. And so there was a lot of back and forths. If we remember the storyline, we don't like where this is going. It was Brian Armstrong from Coinbase. And he said, I don't like the markup of this bill. And then I'm sure some things were, some phone calls were made, some meetings were held in back rooms. And then he seemingly changed his tune and said it was going in the right direction. And I thought it was interesting over the weekend that I saw a tweet from him that said, mark it up. So he's on with it. I think from my perspective, before I hand it off to you, it's always, who won, who wins, and who lost, right? Who's going to win and who's going to lose? I think if you have to, we are the crypto crusaders, right? We've been here for a long, long time. And, it feels like the banks are swinging their weight, and the banks are getting a little bit more than what they are, more of a win maybe than the larger retail audience. Because I've always said, like, hey, these rewards would be great. Like, I've complained nonstop about, wiring money and how it takes 2 to 3 days and how you get literally nothing in your bank. You get no interest on the money in your bank account, and then you go to your local bank for your mortgage and they just loan it back to you, and there's fractional reserves and they take $1 and times it by 10. We've all covered that. So it feels like the banks are winning a little bit here, but I think there's a lane for innovation. And so I want to stick to the positive here. I saw mixed reviews. I think most people were pretty positive on it, but there were some, I'll pull up a tweet later of somebody who said he wasn't a fan of it. I think there's lane for innovation. I don't think that lane's super clear. But there's lane for innovation to make these quote unquote active rewards to give back to people that want to participate. But what stuck out to you the most?
Yeah, really exciting update, TiVo, as you said. And so I think this happened, Friday we started to get, the language was leaking out. It was a Senator for Republican, Tillis, and then a Democrat Senator, also Brooks from Maryland, and they released this final stablecoin yield compromise after literally months of talks. And banks were at the table for these talks. It's not like they weren't involved and they didn't know some of this language. So what this language basically said is it's going to ban passive deposit-like yield interest paid for just holding stablecoins. So that's a win for the banks. The banks don't want you to just hold USDC doing nothing and earning yield. And okay, we're going to compromise on that from a crypto side of things. That's a win for the banks. And people need to realize that. That's a pretty big win for the banks. But it also says in that language that allows activity-based rewards tied to real usage. So is that payments? Is that trading? Is that transfers? Is that staking? And that's a win for crypto. So you're getting rewarded by utilizing the crypto platforms, which is a huge win for crypto. And then we had a lot of these crypto industry leaders, the Coinbases, the Circles, trade groups, immediately endorsed it, and they're pushing hard for the markup right now. So that's really exciting news. And hey, credit to us. I love saying that because I feel like we could say it a lot, is that there was a couple months ago, I remember talking about it, and this is whenever Jamie Crypto Diamond was firing off, hey, if you want to be a bank, be a bank, and Brian Armstrong went running to Trump on that Monday, and people were saying that the Clarity Act looked close, and I was like, TiVo, this doesn't feel close at all. I mean, this feels like they're arguing over the stablecoin yield, and we nailed it, because a lot of people were, I think Clarity Act was 60-70% to happen then, and then it crashed. It just felt like there was a different vibe in the room. I am now on the side that this is going to get done. I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know. I obviously have some exposure from our call last week, so I'm hoping it gets done. And I think it absolutely needs to get done because we want to be an innovator in the crypto world. But this is pretty when we were talking about that a few months ago, I kind of was like, hey, there's really no real compromise on these stablecoin yields. You know, someone's going to kind of walk away a little bitter.
Yeah.
But I think this is as close of a compromise as you can get, because you're not going to get yield for just holding it. You actually have to be involved in the protocol. You have to stake. You have to do some things. Do I think that's going to be very difficult? I don't. I think staking on these platforms is going to be very easy and to give a really great opportunity for retail and regular people to earn massive yield. And I'm all about that. And that's a big reason I'm in crypto. Now, fast forward. So we get this announcement on the 1st and 2nd. Odds on Polymarket are absolutely skyrocketing. And then did you see this report yesterday that major banks, the American Banking Association, they basically pushed back publicly and they called the language insufficient, I believe was the word. And they warned of loopholes and said it could pull away from deposits and loans from banks and promised detailed edited suggestions. And I was reading that and I was like, wait, haven't the banks been at the negotiating table this entire time? And we have the Republicans and the Democrats kind of shaking hands across the aisle. That never happens. And they kind of come out with as good of a compromise as you can. So I'm excited. And then we got the ABA and these major banks coming out and saying like, hey, we don't like it. Kind of pissed me off, not going to lie, but it is what it is. And then Tillis and also Brooks, these are the two main senators that are involved. One's a Republican, one's a Democrat, stood today and they literally tweet, I think it was a tweet, they said, we respectfully disagree and called it basically like, hey, we're moving forward with this deal. We look at it as pretty much final. So it doesn't sound like they're going to reopen the deal and it's going to go to bipartisan negotiators moving forward. Now, of course, we're going to get some more trickling out here from, you know, the American Banking Association, how they don't love the language. But personally, I think this goes to markup. I love when Brian Armstrong came out and they seem okay with it. Their CLO came out and said they seem okay with it. Democrats and Republicans on both sides seem like okay with it. And then even Trump said, hey, right when I get the Clarity Act, I'm going to ink that right away.
Yep.
So I think this is close. It's just kind of a gut feeling, but it sounds like the markup is expected as early as next week. And if that passes, it goes to the Senate floor in June or July. And then we might have an ink deal end of June, beginning of July, which I think will be, we know it's a big catalyst. I don't think we are going to understand how big of a catalyst this is going to actually be. I think it's going to be huge. So fingers crossed. It sounds like the banks are not in love with the language, but man, they've been eating their cake for the last 100 years. You know, give the crypto bros a little love here.
Yeah, no, I'm all in for getting love, especially for kind of how we've covered this as a program. Again, completely free for the YouTube and the podcast. You were watching. I remember this very vividly. You were watching Brendan and I, and some news came out here in January, and it dipped down here into the 30s. It got down to 30. It was like 37 on air. It was live on air. I remember this.
That live too.
Yeah, yeah. It was live on air. We're watching it. We were like, oh, we were saying. I remember this. We were like, oh yeah, it's a 50-50. We were talking about the Clarity Act. Like, oh, 50-50. This is in January this year. So we're like, oh, 50-50. It'll get done this year. Something to watch. And then Brett and I pull up the Polymarket link, and it's down at like 37. And we're like, oh, what's happened? And I'm looking online. I don't know. There's some like one negative headline on it. And I just remember saying, I was like, well, I was like, that headline doesn't seem like that warranted for a drop. Like, I would pick some up here. And you were watching live and you're like, yeah, yeah, I got some. I got some on that call. And then you got to ride that 37 all the way up to 80%. So, boom, you could have traded out of that at the time. Like, great call. And then again, we were on the pod. Then it was me and you last week. We were back down to 42. And we said, hey, I'm picking up. We got to, if you were listening to that episode, we put our money where our mouth is. We have open contracts on end of year. So we got the end of year at 42. And then I even bought before August 1st. So we bought the before August 1st contract. So those are the crypto 101. Those contracts are for the people. And it's something that will cover the rest of the storyline, obviously. Solid chat today for us not promoting. How's everybody doing out there? If you could, give the video a like, send it to a friend. And if you're new, check out the bottom right. It's our logo. Hit subscribe. Hit the comments. Let us know. Hit the chat. Let us know where you're watching from. We always love to know where everybody's tuning in from. Chris Perkins, who we're actually going to be interviewing next week, I believe, is coming on the show. And he says that and Chris Perkins, formerly of CoinFund, that got bought by Franklin Templeton. He's going to be their head of digital assets, which is super exciting to get him on the show. It says that if the Clarity Act doesn't pass, he's not worried, we'll be just fine. And he had actually some thoughts of something in the bill that he wasn't the biggest fan of. So just a teaser there of we're bringing people on to talk about this. You know, obviously the rundowns are super, super fun, but we always try to bring the best in the industry as well. And we recorded some absolute bangers of a podcast this week. Just a little teaser there. They'll be coming out next week, so stay tuned. And then the final thing for me on this is why it needs to get done now. I mean, I'm not saying that it will get done, but basically it's the Senate majority for the fall. When the election, the midterms take place, like, you don't know what you're going to be looking at on the other side. It is a bipartisan bill, so it has more chance to get done than most, I think. But if this was from Alex Thorne over at Galaxy, and he was saying that if the Dems take down Sherrod Brown, and they could take back the Senate banking chair. So if they take back the Senate banking chair, it'll go back to Elizabeth Warren, which obviously is a crusader against crypto, and apparently doesn't like Spirit Airlines too, because she ran that one into the ground, pun intended. So I thought that was interesting. That's why it is something that if you kind of like it, I think you should root for it to pass. If there's stuff that you absolutely hate in it, then yeah, you shouldn't root for it to pass. But it feels like we're up against the clock here. So if you want some clarity, if you want clarity passed, now seems to be the time.
Yeah, I've been screaming that for months now, that we need this done before the midterms, and I think it's going to be a big move. I'm certainly going to turn in to Chris Perkins, so I love that call off of the podcast, TiVo. I'm going to be tuning in whenever you guys release that, because I'm interested to see his thoughts as well. And if the Clarity Act doesn't happen, I don't want anybody to freak out. Like, we're going to be fine. You know, there's been a lot of other issues out there with crypto that we've just survived through. I think it's just a realize how big of a bill this is going to be for our industry, and we just want to get it done, because once you get this bill done, we, no pun intended, but we have clarity. A lot of these institutions are going to have clarity, and there's just going to be more liquidity. And dude, like, look at what's happening right now, dude. We got, like, I think last I looked, oil over $100 a barrel. Who the heck knows what's going on in Iran right now? I can't even keep up with the back and forth headlines. And Big Daddy Bitcoin is just chilling at like $80,000. So it feels like we're just like kind of like, and then that doesn't even mention like what Michael Saylor's been doing. I mean, his buys, I mean, they're massive, and he's continuing to buy and with Stretch, and that's just eating up the sell pressure. The sellers are going to run out, and then we're going to get this Clarity Act hopefully done. We're sitting at an $80,000 Bitcoin with a $100 barrel of oil. Like, I didn't really think this was going to shake out this way, but I'm always the perma bull, but I'm a little bit more bullish today than I was last week, and I'm super excited where we're heading. And this Clarity Act bill is like the cherry on top for me. Let's make it happen. Let's get through it. And I love the Tillis and also Brooks comment back to the banking association, when they're basically like, you guys have been at the table for the past like months. Like, you know what was happening. Like, we agree to disagree. We're moving forward. I'm like, yeah. Like, the last thing I wanted to hear is, like, we're going to revise this. But they were like, no. We like where this stands, and we're moving forward. So I think these Clarity Act odds are in a good spot.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too. I mean, I put my money where my mouth is. So you know I stand on it. I think it gets done. And I think it's exciting times, and it's where this is going. We just had Nick carry on, the co-founder of blockchain.com, and he was reminiscing. We asked him a question, not a spoiler, but like a little teaser of like, what do you miss about the old days? And he missed being like, you know, it was us versus the world, and now it seems like the world's joining us, and there's a lot more negotiations and things that have to happen at the table to get things done. But that's the result of a maturing market, and you know, that's obviously clearly where we are. And so I thought it was interesting, you know, how can you play the Clarity Act? Obviously you can play the the poly markets and the Kalshis, the betting markets of the world. You missed your 50%. That could have been a double for you. But then there's stocks. So we saw Circle was the biggest winner. Circle was up 20% the next day. Coinbase was up about 7 or 8. And then Robinhood, I think, was up 4. So those are the ones, the closely tied crypto stocks were moving on this news. And then even today, there was an announcement from Coinbase that they are cutting 14% of their workforce. So there was a email that went out to a lot of, or I guess all Coinbase employees, letting them know. And certain ones were informed that their time at Coinbase is ending. And, I think Brian had a long post about why, a lot of AI in that, just trying to, again, cut the fat, and AI is taking over a lot of things. There was something in there that I thought was interesting. It was, there's no pure managers anymore. Anybody who works here is a contributor. You can obviously have leadership positions, but there's nobody that's just managing people. And then the stock bounced on that, which sometimes it does. I was talking to Brian before the show. I remember when Mark Zuckerberg announced he was cutting a lot of staff over at Meta, the stock jumped like 18-20%. And it's tough as a human being just to be like, oh, this stock's rallying on this news of people losing their jobs, which is never good. And the stock popped for Coinbase, but then it quickly reversed. Let's just pull it up now while I'm on this rant, because I do think it's interesting, because I think the market, yeah, it's about down 3%. So it's like a 7% swing today to the downside. And I think the market's trying to sniff out, like, what is the future for Coinbase? Because obviously they used to be the biggest moat of crypto and altcoins, and that's not the case anymore with Robinhood, Gemini, Kraken, you name it. They're like, oh, now we're doing betting markets, we'll do stocks, we have perpetuals on oil. So it's like they're almost trying to be Robinhood. We kind of covered that when they were launching all that. So it's interesting to see the market discount the cut of jobs to maybe compare like what their revenues will be. And I bring this up to toss it back to you, Brian, a little volleyball lob of a question that's not on the sheet. I see, for the Clarity Act, I see roads of innovation. You're going to have to come up with products that use people's stable coins or use people's cryptos in an active way to then give them rewards. And I think that Coinbase is one of the companies that would be situated perfectly to be able to come up with something like that. And I'm not smart enough to, I haven't read the fine print yet of this Clarity Act, but when I was just thinking of this, I'm like, well, what could be that product? What could qualify as stable coins, keeping them active to not be deposits? What could qualify them in an active role? And I thought of all these companies launching their credit cards. And so I don't know this. I'm not saying this as a fact, but is there a way to tie in the Coinbase credit card, the Robinhood credit card, the Gemini credit card? Is there a way to tie that into active deposits where you're constantly paying off the bill? Or maybe it's some type of mix between a credit card and a debit account, and it's an instant, an instant transfer of stable coins when you're buying things. But because of that, you're getting more instant rewards. So maybe these 2-4% rewards could, I don't know, I'm just throwing it out there. Could they jump to 6-8% if you're using it as a debit card and you're getting like 6% off purchases? I don't know. Just an idea. Cause I think that's what the Clarity Act is opening up: innovation for more rewards if you're active.
Yeah. You nailed it, TiVo. And what an alley-oop, because I'm slamming that down. Even my Gemini card now, just recently on the app, it has an option where I could pay the bill with my current crypto holdings. So there's some sort of, back-end UI there that, converts, my Bitcoin or Ethereum over and takes care of my credit card, probably into some stable coins. So I think everything you said is certainly on the table. I think that just like something as simple as staking is on the table. And I guess to go back to this whole Brian Armstrong and cutting 14% of the workforce, I mean, nobody wants anybody to lose their job. I'm like the number one people. I want more jobs for people. I want people to feel secure and think outside of the box and build instead of, bringing the lunch pail to work. And Coinbase has done a great job, but they did have about, I said this before we jumped on, 5,000 employees, just a ton of employees. And maybe they needed all those employees, so they cut 700. But when you compare it to some other very interesting companies out there. Now, this is an apples to apples, but Hyperliquid, for instance, which makes a boat ton of money, has 20 employees. So they've definitely kept it lean over there, and they're making a lot of money. So I'm not like alarmed by this cutting the workforce of 14%. I hate to see this happen, but they're also trying to get into more AI native structure and infrastructure. I think the AI world and crypto go together. Brian Armstrong's one of those clear people have said there's going to be more AI agents transacting with crypto than humans. I think stablecoins and AI and agents and all of that is going to open up all these new avenues of how we can earn yield, how we can utilize these stable coins. It's just a really exciting time. And I think if we hold these rewards back from the Clarity Act, we're holding back innovation. So we want to give an opportunity for all these companies to innovate because somebody else is going to do it. Another country, somebody else is going to do it. They're going to capitalize on it. So we always want to keep moving forward. So I'm excited to see how it all shakes out. And you make a great point with the credit card and just the sky's the limit how creative you can get with these stable coins and obviously earning massive yield, which is going to be attractive. And I get the bank's point of view, but I think it's time to kind of like support some people.
Yeah, I would love to be in a think tank of like creative ideas to give to obviously the whole you're running a business. So you have to make the most revenue. But like if and maybe again, I'm completely wrong and that wouldn't qualify, but it's like be active. So how can we come up with ideas to keep these deposits active? It would be interesting to like you could tier how much like the more money you spend with this card. So they're earning money on the processing fees, gets you certain level tiered of stable coins each month. And it's like you spend this much a week, you earn this. If you spend this much a month, you earn this. And it's like, I don't know. It's like it's basically the same thing as credit cards have done seemingly forever is gamify it to try to get you to spend more. But, I'm not advocating for outrageous spending that you can't have. But then maybe if you offer the best program, you know, you use that one card for the majority of your spending. So could be interesting. Something we're definitely going to cover here. But again, I think the name of the game is this seems to be moving forward. If we're putting a cherry on top of the Clarity Act Sunday here, moving forward, looks like this is bipartisan support to get done. The banks are getting what they want to a point. The crypto industry is getting what they want to a point. Feels like a good negotiation in a way. Everybody's leaving the table wishing they got more. But also, I do believe that lane of innovation is open. And it'll be interesting to see what products come out of that. And then I also think that for crypto as a whole and Bitcoin, you know, I think this is what we hope for, a green light to really really continue the transformation of crypto to being America first, but also crypto to the world. As we pull up Coin Market Cap and transition on something that popped out immediately, look at this 50-50 smack dab in the middle. We're here, baby. Last month,
the boys are eating.
We were extreme fear. Don't forget, February 6th, down at an 8, single digits. And now we're at the 50. We'll actually cover this later, but I mean, there's some, obviously, we saw Bitcoin moving, nice move here, 7 days, 7%. Obviously a solid, even if we pull it up, solid, what, month, you know, 20% on the month. You don't hate that at all. Altcoins are moving a little bit. We'll cover some of that later in the show. And yeah, it feels 50-50. I'm not scared. I'm not euphoric. I'm 50. I'm 50-50, Brian.
It almost feels like it's going under noticed a little bit, right? Like people are talking about like crypto stocks on Twitter. Like there's less like celebration of like us hitting $80,000 in with a lot of things going on in the world right now. So again, not financial advice, but I think we go higher. I do. I think we go higher. I'm not opening any longs or anything along those lines, but I am cautiously optimistic that we're going higher. I'd like to see us close above 84. I think when we see a 9 in front of it, when we see 90, there's going to be some real FOMO with people because we're not going to be that far off of all-time highs, and this is all going under notice. We had all those retail short-term buyers sell out, got smart money piling in, and we're just grinding up. The chart looks great. things feel pretty good. I love whatever TA we're doing right now. It's I'm into it. Is that a descending triangle to the lower end? Is that what are we looking at here?
This is the first ever in the middle here. You see here, it's the first ever Dudes Rock. we're going to the moon, dude. I think this is kind of what I was trying to learn from Brendan and Hunter, who Hunter is going to be on the show on Friday. So make sure you tune in on Friday live with Bryce and Hunter to meet Hunter, and we'll do some TA. But I was kind of, when I was saying the pain trade was higher, I like this support here. I like the 60s. I did. I really did. I thought when we were bouncing around the 60s down here, I thought the pain trade was higher, as we said on the show. Another great call. If you listen to these episodes week in and week out with us, we really appreciate it. But you got the pain trade is higher, and here we are. We're dancing in the 80s. And I think you could have that first breakout to 90 here, and then you consolidate. And then I wouldn't say the pain trade's higher from there, but I think there's the panic. Like if you see Bitcoin at 85, 86, I think there's panic buying to get into the 90s. And then I do think, again, right here, you probably consolidate in here again. I don't think, and we've said this, me and you specifically, like I don't think we're rocketing back up to 110, but I think you could get a crazy little pop here into the, and not personal financial advice, we're just friends talking crypto here, but like my money's on us getting up into close to the 90s there, and then consolidating again before you'd make that jump back up, depending on macro and whatnot. But I think we kind of break out of this eventually and get up into the 90s is something that I'm trying to watch. I think Bitcoin wants to dance in the 80s. That's what I told Brendan that on Friday. I was like, I think Bitcoin wants to dance in the 80s, or am I biased? And he agreed. He thinks the risk reward is to get us dancing in the 80s here.
I mean, Brendan is obviously the greatest of all time. Hunter's an absolute stud, so everyone needs a tune. I'm going to be in there. I'm going to be in that chat on Friday, chirping him a little bit. I'm excited for that because they're going to break it down such a great way with TA. But what TiVo just presented there, I think, is exactly where I'm going as well. I think we dance in the 80s. I love that term. I think there's a little bit of a panic buy. And I would not be surprised if we see a 9 in front of Bitcoin sooner rather than later. I'm excited for where we're going. I think that was one of the best TA breakdowns that I've seen in a long time, because it means up only. And I'm excited for it. We'll get a little bit of confirmation for Brendan and Hunter, but things feel really good right now in the world of Bitcoin. I guess it's not on the sheet. We didn't prep this at all, but I'm going to put you on the spot. What are your thoughts for like the altcoin market if Bitcoin keeps pushing like it is? Do you think altcoins kind of just still chop around or bleed a little bit? Have you even thought about it?
Of course I've thought about it. I mean, we talk about Pudgy Penguin every single
episode. Have you seen that? Are we buying Pudgy?
What are you talking about, bro? We're killing it.
It's up like 50% a month.
No, 87% on the month. 87% on the month.
Well, I forget what we called it out, but it has to feel somewhat close.
I mean, I think if you're listening to this podcast, you're getting amazing alpha, because we covered every time Brian and Joe were on, we brought up every single, especially if you pull up the year, right down here. All we talked about this year, anytime, whether it was the Pudgy plushie, the credit card, we were just talking about how that we love Pudgy Penguin because they build. They build. And again, it's not personal financial advice. Obviously, up here was a super fun time. And we were riding with Pudgy then. And certainly we made some solid trades there, took some profits, but we rode some down too. But we said, hey, we think if they continue to build, they'll be back. And certainly in the last month with 86% here, you can't hate that at all. You can't hate that at all. But to kind of your overarching question, yeah, things are going to come back. Altcoins will come back. I think that's not really my department, so I don't want to give too hot a take. I really like to delegate that to you and Joe, Momentum Moneymakers. I'm obviously inside the community of Crypt Nation, the newsletter with Bryce and Rohit. That's where that alpha lives the most. So if you're somebody that's really interested in that, obviously we always have the links down there. I got the $1 trial for Brian, Momentum Moneymakers, $1 trial for Crypt Nation. Get the newsletter. Check out those links if you're looking for that early, early alpha. But I think, yeah, Bitcoin is a tide that certainly lifts all boats, but there's alpha to know what boat you want to ride on. And I think what we learned from the last cycle is those dinosaur cryptos, can pop off at times and have these weird runs, but they're not necessarily sustainable if they don't have a fundamental storyline. It's kind of my biggest takeaway from it.
Yeah, there's a few just altcoins that I have a slight love affair with, you know, and we talk about them on the rundown all the time. Like, you know, the hypes. I think Zcash is super interesting with the privacy meta. Pudgy Penguins, man. Like, what an I mean, we've been talking about this. I get it. Like, everyone got washed out a little bit, the rest of the crypto market. But we were just banging on the drum that when Bitcoin recovers, when it starts to show strength, tokens like Pudgy Penguins are the ones that are going to run and run the hardest. And it's been one of the biggest winners. Dude, we're number 71 crypto of Pudgy Penguins with Pepe, which was a multi-billion dollar market cap. Now it's a 1.7 billion. I mean, we're close to 2x away from being a Pepe. I'm loving this setup here. I'm loving this setup because the Pudgy Penguins team continues to produce, continues to make money. And I think we're going to see a nice run up in certain coins. And Pengu is one that we've talked about a lot for good reason.
Yeah, and I think the market cap thing's interesting because even, you know, obviously if you compare it to the price on the 1 year versus the market cap on a 1 year, it stays obviously pretty consistent. But I think that the market cap, like you said, we can go reach Pepe. It's like, it's not out of question for that. I think this is, you know, the Pepe was viral in memification for sure, and obviously a staying power on the internet. But they're not building like Pengu, man. Nobody's building like Pengu at Pudgy Penguin overall. So something we really like here, and we will continue to cover. Another one that that we've covered inside the community a lot and on the show, but I know this has been inside the community a lot this year, was Ondo. And Ondo had some news here. Their tokenized STRC with Michael Saylor Stretch. They're tokenizing it, and they chose Ondo. So it's now available on Ethereum, BNB chain, and Solana through Ondo Global Markets. That's Ondo's thing, is tokenization, RWAs. And I know Rohit has had some newsletters on it. I know Bryce has liked it over the last year plus. And I know it's been talked about recently inside the community, and it had some big news, and it's had some movement too. What do you think about Ondo? And I'll pull up the chart.
Yeah, I mean, I think real world assets and tokenization is great. I love Ondo as a play. It's part of my personal portfolio. But this is interesting because they launched a one-to-one version of Strategy's perpetual preferred stock. You're going to get, I think it's like 11.5 annualized, paid monthly in cash. Maybe they change it to biweekly, but it's a $100 par value. You deposit cash, Strategy deploys it to heavy Bitcoin exposure, and you collect monthly dividends. So it's great to see that Ondo is embracing it. Michael Saylor is taking these stretch buys and continuing to just hammer Bitcoin, and which could make you a little nervous. I'm not going to lie, I've felt that in the past, but he seems to make the right decisions here at the right times. I know some of his buys have been above where we've been, but you know, I think he just continuously gets more and more capital to buy Bitcoin, and it's just such a tremendous amount of buy pressure that he puts on these sellers. I think it's going to be great, and this is just another avenue where Ondo's getting involved in Stretch.
I feel like for financial journalism, I think I have to buy some Stretch. I was always like, yeah, I don't necessarily fully understand it, and I don't like to buy things I don't fully understand. But I also gamble a lot, and so I feel like I might need to buy some Stretch.
I could probably go through the text messages and find 3 to 5 over the past few days of things that we did not really fully understand, but we were like, we're probably aping in. And I've got one on the top of my head that I'm not going to mention. It's not a crypto that, you know, I've had some major sweats with you. So, you know, every once in a while.
That doesn't mean, okay, yes. That doesn't mean that we don't understand it. We know what we're doing, but it's gambling. Gambling. I'm looking at the Stretch and how he does the financial alchemy of this and the constant yielding dividend. And I'm just like, man, I don't understand the financial alchemy of this. So that means I can't truly invest in it. However, there, like I said, however, I do like to gamble. And I feel like as the host, the co-host of the Rundown, and we talk about this stuff every week, I feel like I need to put a little sprinkle and then I can report back. I'm not going to, it's not going to be a full, you know, position for me by any means. Because I've been in this strategy. I had a great strategy called 2022 and rode that up with my Robin Hood. That was great. So I'm not anti-strategy by any means. Love Michael Saylor, friend of the show, of course. But yeah, the stretch is interesting. There's usually the people ride or die for stretch, or they think it's, you know, a pure scam. So I think I might have to sprinkle some stretch here. But back to Ondo. If we circle back to Ondo, I'll share this chat. Great week. I mean, 20% on the week. Obviously, this news pops. That's 20% on the week. But also, I mean, again, for real world assets, I mean, tough year. Like even before the 20% was down, and probably 80% on the year. And then again, if you're looking all time, I mean, this is basically back with the ICO. I remember Ondo was running high. So, you know, you got to do your own research. I think if you are in the community and you got those newsletters, a lot to learn and make decisions on. But a good run here for Ondo with some good news.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I think Ondo has just so many major partnerships and getting integrated in the real world. I mean, in the chart, it's tough because a lot of people are bidding Ondo early on because a lot of that price discovery was just pure speculation. We get the correction, and now they're starting to, you know, really work. I mean, I think they were selected for DTCC's Industries Working Group for U.S. tokenization. If you believe in real world assets, if you believe in tokenizing on-chain, Ondo's kind of feels like a no-brainer opportunity, and you know, it's far off its all-time highs. So I love the product. I think they do a good job.
Full disclosure, I do have a little bit of Ondo in my bag. So, you know, full disclosure there. Funny that we were talking about Saylor and all he does is buy Bitcoin. Not so fast. Not this week. No buys this week. Back to work next week. So no buys for Michael Saylor this week, but that's okay. All he does is buy. But the ETH whales are buying, Brian. The whales continue to buy. Obviously, that will be, and we'll talk about him in a second, is BitMine Tom Lee always buying. But more whales are buying. The on-chain data is showing that ETH whales accumulated 322 million worth of ETH in the last 48 hours. But price is holding firm. A little pop there. I think we kissed 2,400 in the last 24 hours. But the accumulation's happening, man. These OTC desks nonstop selling. The ETH Foundation continues to sell. I think they sold to BitMine. So, you know, we're not seeing the price. It says down there, yeah, the BitMine OTC absorption. But I don't know. It's just eventually, it's kind of the same thing with Bitcoin, right? Like, when does this buying pressure blow off the top? And I think for Ethereum, it should be coming, because like the staking is incredible. Like 10 billion of ETH staked. I think BitMine's now at like 4.something% of the Ethereum supply on their Alchemy of 5%. And there's a large wait line. People just want to stake. They want to stake.
I mean, if you were buying Ethereum above $4,000 and you liked it then, you should absolutely love it at $2,300. We just talked about a couple rundowns where I was like, I feel underexposed to Ethereum, and both of us were laughing. And I think we both, like, you know, bought a little bit of Ethereum as well. I think it's just in due time where Ethereum runs, and it's just, there's just a lot of buying pressure. There's a lot of integrations with the Ethereum network. Mainnet's definitely cleaned up a lot of its issues with gas fees and things along those lines. It's being utilized as kind of like the number one chain for a lot of this tokenization. I'm an ETH guy too. I've always liked Ethereum, and I think there's clear skies ahead. I'm surprised it actually is not a little higher than it is, but it doesn't always make sense. You know, sometimes just things don't make sense because there's some inner workings and dealings. Feels like we're just kind of getting out of the mud here a little bit and shaking our boots off, and then there's going to be a pop and a lot of these tokens, and Ethereum's going to, of course, be leading the way, in my opinion. And Tom Lee does not argue, I'll tell you that much. He's just hammering $100 million buys left and right.
Yeah, the guy states his case very bluntly and very in a stoic manner. if I may say. And then I thought this was interesting for anybody who listens to the show that's on, crypto Twitter a lot. There was some FUD online this week. Somebody was posting like the ETH exit queue was crazy, outnumbering the waiting to get in staking queue, and that got some community notes. So nothing to worry about there. The entry queue is actually 7 times larger than the exit queue. Which, you know, obviously is a larger number. So more people are waiting to stake than more people are unstaking. But there was a tweet that went, I don't know if viral is the right word, but it got a lot of attention. So I just wanted any of the listeners out there to get the facts. If they saw that tweet and were worried, that doesn't seem to be the case. People are marching to stake their ETH. I saw stuff that I always like to show is when crypto kind of gets a mainstream shout out. And love them or hate them or indifferent. Joe Rogan is the number one podcast in the world. That's just the stats. So obviously quite a polarizing figure, especially during the election cycle. But there was a little crypto talk, and I thought it was worth listening to because, again, if you're the most popular show in the world, that means you get the most ears in the world. So this is what they heard this week.
Speaking of scamming, what do you think about shitcoins? Like, what's your take on, like, Hawktua coin?
Okay,
Melania coin, and
those are more meme coins. More meme coins,
shit coins, right? Isn't that what a meme coin is?
So the only coin I believe in is Bitcoin, and we've talked about this before.
Right.
In fact, I looked it up, hoping you would bring it up. 2 years ago, when I was here the last time, Bitcoin was around $40,000. Today, it's close to $100,000. This will continue to go up until we're long gone. It's very interesting. So I don't believe in.
So then Joe goes on to say, like, hey, I agree with Bitcoin. So, again, I think it's always fun when clips like that, you know, surface and resurface that, you know, hey, this is what people are hearing. And, you know, that's the kind of fun, entertaining side of it. And then there's the, you know, the Morgan Stanley, the BlackRock side of it, where their financial advisors are going to be selling it as well. So if you have a longer term mindset, you know, I think you're in the right place. And let's see, what else do we have to wrap up today? I thought this was good. So Scott Bessent said, Scott Bessent was talking about AI, and he said, hey, AI could be used to attack bank accounts, to hack bank accounts, saying U.S. financial institutions are actively working on strengthening their defenses to that. And I thought it was finally nice to see a headline how, at least in the finance world, how AI is going to attack everything. We've said it on this show, and obviously the crypto community has said, you know, hey, if quantum computing is going to break Bitcoin, that's the least of our problems. It's going to kill our financial system, right, without any upgrades. So I thought this was interesting. I know that a couple weeks ago, I mean, it might be 3 weeks ago now, he kind of had an emergency meeting. Did you hear about this, Brian? He summoned a lot of the bank leaders. I don't know if he summoned them to D.C. or if it was a call, but I think he might have brought them all to D.C. It was like Citi, J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, like all the big names to talk about something to do with like Anthropic. There was like a Anthropic, you know, hacking leak or something. They're like, hey, like we just saw what this new model's doing and like you guys aren't ready for it. Like we got to. And in the Anthropic model is like sandbox, so it's, you know, not supposed to get out. It's in a sandbox, so it can't, you know, it's not running free. But he's like, hey, if this thing exists now, like it's going to exist a lot of other places sooner rather than later, and this thing can crack all your security. I'm paraphrasing, but it was basically the headline was this is a rare thing to do, and it got out that it was about, you know, AI safety. So I thought that was interesting. Again, this is where the world's going. And so it's not just a crypto or a Bitcoin problem. It's a world problem. And obviously the battle of hackers and good versus evil just continues on into a different arena with AI and quantum. But last thing I got on the sheet here, Brian, shout out to our friends of the show, the XRP Army, absolutely taking over the Zook, what's that? The Zook Group, Resorts World. That's what it is. I've been there. Resorts World, one of the newer hotels out in Vegas. XRP all over it, and we always love our XRP family and friends. And so I actually saw a funny clip. So this is the strip, and I'll get your take on the back end of this clip. So this was from Bitcoin Conference last week. XRP painted all over Resorts World. And then this just came out today. This is a consensus live down in Miami this week, today, tomorrow, and maybe Thursday. But I thought this was a funny little clip of the CEO of XRP.
I've never been an XRP maxi.
What did he say?
I've never been an XRP maxi.
Did you hear that?
He was never an XRP maxi. I'm kind of surprised by that.
Yeah, let's hear the full clip.
I've never been an XRP maxi. It's not going to be a one-chain world. It's going to be a multi-chain world. I want to see Bitcoin be successful. I love what's going on in the XRP ecosystem. I've never been an XRP.
All right. Not an XRP maxi. There's a lot out there, and we love them too. But any thoughts on that? I thought that was fun.
I mean, the XRP army, the Ripple army, man, is just, they're sort of amazing. Yeah, it's crazy. I remember just a couple of years ago when like people would be like overseas, or they would see like a Bitcoin logo, like friends and family, and they would like send me a picture like, "We accept Bitcoin here," and they would be like, "Hey, this crypto thing's starting to catch on." Now we have XRP just plastered all over Las Vegas. Obviously, the world's changing. People are becoming more and more interested in crypto. Shout out to the XRP army. Again, I've stated multiple times I'm not a holder of it, but I'm rooting for it. I think it could certainly succeed. And I agree with that clip that he said, that the world's not going to be a one-chain world. I also agree with that, and we don't need to go in depth about that, but I believe there's going to be a space for a lot of different chains to be very successful and be specialized. And I'm rooting for XRP, but man, whoever their marketing team is and advertisement agency, I mean, they get the word out, man, and they do get tribalism out there.
Yeah, it's fun. It's like rooting for your team, especially when you have money invested. It's fun. We love everybody. We love the XRP army. We love the crypto family, and especially the Crypto 101 family. That's going to do it for us today. However, I want everybody to know who's still live. Tune in. Let me pull up the exact time because I have it scheduled. 1 p.m. Eastern, we have Bryce, a rare appearance of Bryce on the rundown, so you're not going to want to miss that. We're introducing our new team member, Hunter. He is a Swiss Army knife, a true jack of all trades, everything from crypto to TA, just a really smart, bright guy. If you want to get a tease of what he's like, go check out one of the tutorials on our YouTube that he posted for TradingView. So tune in 1 p.m. Eastern live on YouTube on Friday if you can make it. If not, always available on the audio on YouTube after. Really appreciate everybody tuning in on this Tuesday afternoon. That's all for today, and we'll talk to you on Friday. Bye-bye, everybody.